Life at Boys Town. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Boys Town Broadcasting, America's famous city of little men, founded a quarter century ago by the beloved father E.J. Flanagan, in order that homeless, abandoned boys of every race, creed, and color might come together to build themselves a new life and a new world. Father Flanagan is not present in the studio personally for this program, but his voice will be impersonated. So join us now, won't you, as we present another picture of life at Boys Town. But first, a word from Father Flanagan.
More than likely, all of us have experienced at one time or another one of those rare days that starts out quite the same as any day wherein we follow our ordinary routine. But before the day is ended, we can look back upon a number of unexpected and sometimes extraordinary developments. What one might expect to be a totally uneventful shopping trip may blossom into an episode full of consequential incidents. Well, such a day was recently experienced by those three typical Boys Town youngsters, Lester Scott, Perky Johnson, and Sleepy Peters. The opening chapter of this story of life at Boys Town occurs on the eve of the all-eventful day. The three boys were at their apartment reading.
Golly, but I'm tired. I just can't hold my eyes open another minute.
Are you going to go to bed, Lester?
Yeah. And you too, or are you going to read a while yet?
Well, I guess I'll just finish just one chapter. I'm pretty tired, too.
How about you, Sleepy? You going to bed yet? Hey, Sleepy.
Too many crickets. He never heard you calling. He must really be interested in that story he's reading there.
Hey, Sleepy. Hey! Golly, you didn't even hear that.
Why don't you just go tap him on the shoulder, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'll do. But if he don't feel any better than he hears, I'll probably have to use a mallet.
Hey, Sleepy! Help!
Sleepy, for goodness sake!
Too many crickets. What's the matter with you anyway, Sleepy?
Oh, gee whiz, you should never have done that, Lester. You should never have. Gee whiz.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you going nuts or something? All I did was just tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah, I know, but I thought you was the Crimson Crocodile.
You thought I was the what?
The Crimson Crocodile.
What in the world is that?
Why, it's that mysterious thing that goes around scaring the daylights out of people in the story I'm reading here.
Oh, for goodness sakes, a Crimson Crocodile. What do you do, go around tapping his victims on the shoulder?
No, so far all he does is sneak up behind him and snap. And just because you went and tapped me on the shoulder didn't say you wasn't the Crimson Crocodile, did it?
Well, I ain't the Crimson Crocodile or any other colored one. It's me. And all I want to know is whether or not you're going to bed.
Bed? Oh, golly, I couldn't sleep now. Whenever I read about the Crimson Crocodile, I can't never go to sleep.
Well, Jiminy Cricket, if it keeps you waking, what do you read about the Crimson Crocodile just before you go to bed?
Oh, I don't read about the Crimson Crocodile just before I go to bed.
You don't?
Gee whiz, no, I just read about the Crimson Crocodile till I begin to shake a whole lot, and then I stop and read about the Pink Pelican.
The Pink Pelican?
Yeah.
Well, don't that scare you?
Oh, gee whiz, no, the Pink Pelican's a good thing. He don't snap at nobody.
He don't, huh?
No.
Not even at the villain?
No. He sticks them with his beak.
Fine stories you read.
Yeah.
Come in.
Hello, boys.
Oh, hi, Father.
I just dropped in for a moment to ask a favor of two of you.
Two of us, Father? Well, which two?
Well, it really doesn't matter. You can decide that among yourselves.
Well, what's the favor?
Mr. Tompkins has another lawnmower that needs to be sharpened. He'd like it taken to town tomorrow, and then have the one that's there brought back.
Golly, a trip to town, huh?
Yes. Norton will drive you to town, about 11 in the morning. Has to go to Council Bluffs for a few days. So he can drop you off on the way. You can return the boys down by bus.
Golly, I'll go, Father.
Yeah, me too.
And me, I'll go.
Now, Father said he only need two of us, didn't he, Sleepy?
Uh-huh.
Well, he was the last to speak up. Tommy and Perky goes.
Oh, gee whiz.
Well, do you think that's being quite fair, Lester?
Why, sure. Guy, that's the way we figure who's going to be first up and won a cat in different games. Whoever yells first up. Whoever yells second up, second up. That's the way it goes. Whoever yells quickest gets the best.
Oh, gee whiz. I don't get to go to town just because I'm low at yelling.
Yeah, it does seem a bit unfair, doesn't it, Sleepy?
Well, I tell you what, Sleepy. We'll give you another chance. The two fellas who get to go to Omaha tomorrow will be the first two to say, me.
Me.
That's it, Sleepy. You lose.
Oh, gee whiz. Is it over already?
Well, sure it's over.
And you think that's quite a fair way of reaching a decision, huh?
Well, sure I do, Father.
And you, Perky, you think so, too?
Well, I guess it ain't the best way at all, but that's the way we do it.
I don't see what's unfair about it.
Well, say, Lester, before I forget, the one who don't have to carry the lawnmower some more is the first one to say me. Me?
Hey, now wait a minute, Perky.
What's the matter, Lester? Didn't you say whoever yells quickest gets the best?
Well, yeah, but golly, that wasn't fair. He snuck that one in. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't, son. And right there, as I see it, is the whole trouble with the method. It's the one who yells quickest who gets the best, all right. But the only reason for that is because the first to yell is the one who outlines the proposition.
Well...
In other words, Lester, if you had thought of what Perky said before he did, you would have said it and yelled it first because Perky wasn't expecting it.
Well...
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Son, it's only when each contestant has an equal opportunity that a contest can be considered fair.
Well, Father's right, Lester. I never did think that yelling first business was so good. Let's the three of us draw straws to see which two get to go to Omaha tomorrow, huh? And then the two get to go to Omaha can draw to see which one has to carry the lawnmower.
Well, ain't there some other way we can do it? Golly, I'm the unluckiest guy there is that's drawn on.
Well, I ain't so lucky at it neither, Lester.
I don't think we ought to leave it to luck to see which one of us goes to Omaha. I think we ought to determine who's to go by contest of skill.
Yeah, that's what let's have, a contest of skill. But where's the darts?
Oh, not that kind of contest of skill. I mean a contest of skill that calls for brain work.
Well, darts don't call for brain work, Lester.
How?
Oh, well, you get to worrying if you're going to hit the target, don't you? And you can't worry without using your brain.
Well, the kind of contest of skill I think we should have is, one that calls for intelligence.
Oh, you do, huh?
Now, what kind of contest of skill will we have?
Well, does it make any difference?
Well, don't make any difference to me.
Well, and the two of us that get to go to Omaha tomorrow will be the two that's first to give Father Flanagan the answer.
Give me the answer to what, Betty?
Yeah, the answer to what?
It's an algebra problem we'll ask Father to give us.
Oh, me.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm awful good at algebra. Sometimes.
Okay, Lester.
Now that I've had a little time to think it over, you know, I don't think Sleepy's idea of darts on is bad at all. Boy, oh boy. Isn't this a swell morning for a drive to town, Perky?
Yeah, I'll say.
Have you boys got enough room up here in front of me?
Oh, sure, Mr. Norton.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. Are you in the lawnmower all right there in the back seat, Sleepy?
Mm-hmm. Jiminy Cricket. You know, you was awful lucky we never set no time limit on figuring out that algebra problem Father Flanagan gave us last night, Lester. 2 hours you had Father waiting for you to finish. And if he didn't have to go back to his office, we still would have been waiting for you all night.
I was almost finished when Father decided he'd call a contest of skill a tie and let the three of us go to town with Mr. Norton.
Yeah, you was almost finished. But it was lucky for you, you never had the time to finish, because if you was getting nearer and nearer to the wrong answer as time passed.
Do you have trouble with algebra, Lester?
Yeah, we just don't seem made for each other, Mr. Norton.
Yeah, well, that was a pretty hard problem Father gave us all right. I worked out the problem. When I checked it, I got a different answer. And when I checked that, I got another different answer. I got 5 answers before I stopped checking.
And did you finally find the right answer, Sleepy?
Uh-huh.
By checking some more?
No. I threw darts at the 5 answers I had.
Well, that's a novel way of finding the correct answer to an algebra problem. You threw darts at the 5 answers you had and handed in the one you hit, huh?
Well, not exactly. I never did hit one of the answers. In fact, I never hit the paper, so I just handed in the answer that was closer to the same side of the room where most of the darts was.
Hey, watch the driving light, Mr. Norton. It's red.
Yes, I see it, Lester. Well, boys, it's just another block or two to the spot where I drop you off.
Gee, many crickets. Are we there already?
Yeah, we're that close.
Oh, gee whiz, I'm sure glad of that.
Glad? I thought you liked to ride an automobile, Sleepy.
Well, yeah, I do, but gee whiz, not with lawnmowers on my toes.
Here we are, boys. All right.
Go on, open the door, Lester.
Yeah.
Now, you two had better give Sleepy a lift of that lawnmower.
Yeah, we will, Mr. Norton. Can you open that back door there, Sleepy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Lester, we can close this front door now.
Hey, get your legs out of the way, Sleepy, so that I can drag that lawnmower out of there.
All right.
Be careful with it, Lester.
I'll be careful, Mr. Norton.
There. Okay, Phoebe, come on out.
Oh, say, boys.
Yeah, Mr. Norton?
I just thought of something. The lawnmower that's been here to be sharpened needed a replacement part. And the man told me he'd have some trouble getting it. Of course, it's been here more than a week now, but there's a chance it hasn't arrived yet. I wonder if you'd run in and ask, Quirky.
Oh, sure, Mr. Norton. I'll be back in a minute.
Will we bring this lawnmower back to Boys Town if the other one ain't fixed yet, Mr. Norton?
No. That won't be necessary. We can leave it here to be sharpened. The point is, if the other one isn't ready yet, you boys can go on home and I'll pick it up on my return from Council Bluff.
Oh, I'd
forgotten all about that replacement part. I should have telephoned this morning to find out if the lawnmower was ready. This way, I may have brought you boys on a wild goose chase.
Are we going hunting for gooses?
Oh, don't be silly.
Oh, look, here comes Perky now.
Is it ready, Perky?
No, not yet. No. But it will be pretty soon.
All right, how soon?
Well, the man says about an hour and a half. The replacement part just came in this morning, he said, and he's going to fix it in a little while.
Hour and a half, huh?
Should we wait, Mr. Norton?
You won't mind?
Oh, golly, no. Oh, we can walk around and look in the store with us. Yeah, time will go fast.
Yeah, but an hour and a half. That's going to get you back to Boys Town too late for lunch. Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do. Now, who has the money for the bus fare back to Boys Town?
I got it, Mr. Norton.
And the money to pay for the lawnmower you're going to bring back. You have that too, Lester?
No, Perky's got that.
Yeah, I got it, Mr. Norton.
All right, then. Here, Sleepy. You take this money, and then all three of you can be holding some.
Yeah, but what's this for, Mr. Norton?
Well, your lunch. You can eat in one of the restaurants downtown here.
Gee whiz. A restaurant we're going to eat in.
Now, you'll be careful and not lose that money, Sleepy.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'll be getting on now, boys. You can drop this lawnmower now and pick up the other one as soon as it's ready.
Yeah.
Well, take care of yourselves now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Lord. Thanks for the money. Goodbye. Well, let's drop off this lawnmower here. Who's going to carry it in the shop? And let's all three of us carry it in.
I'll take the handle.
I'll take the middle.
That don't leave much left for you, Sleepy.
No, not much. Only the whole lawnmower. Gee whiz. Look at them pretty pajamas in the window there, huh? See them, fellas? The orange ones with the bright green polka dots, huh?
Golly.
Look at it, would you?
It sure are dreadful.
Yeah. Oh, I think pretty.
Well, look like they're made for sleepwalkers, so nobody'd bump into them during blackout.
Any sleepwalker that'll wear them pajamas ought to tie himself in bed. Since if he wanders outside in them in a blackout, he's going to be seen from a plane, no matter how high it's up.
Hey, golly, look at that fuss. That cock outside that jewelry store down there. We've been walking around town nearly 2 hours now.
Gee, many crickets, is it that late? Come on, we better go pick up that lawnmower. It should be ready now.
When are we going to eat?
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. Yeah,
well, that restaurant we said we're going to eat in is about a block past the shop where we pick up the lawnmower. And the bus depot's about a block beyond that. So let's do things in order. Pick up the lawnmower, eat, and then get the bus.
Oh, yeah, but who's going to carry this lawnmower? Volunteers are scarce, ain't they?
Well, we can all three carry it again.
I'll take the handle.
I'll take the middle.
And I'll take the...
Looks like you take the bottom again, Sleepy.
No, sir. You guys get to carry the lawnmower to the parts you pick, don't you?
Sure we do.
Oh, and I get to carry the part I pick, and that's the part between the handle and the middle.
Now, wait a minute,
Sleepy. No.
But if you carry the part between the middle and the handle, well, that'll be the middle, and I pick the middle.
I don't care, Lester.
Just a minute, fellas. Let's not argue about it. Father Flanagan said he didn't think just yelling first get the best business was fair. And I don't think so neither. But here we are doing it again.
Well, we got to find out who's to carry the lawnmower somehow.
No, we don't neither. Nobody's got to carry it.
What do you mean?
Well, the lawnmower rolls, don't it? Why not let's push it?
Then how are you going to find out who's to do the pushing?
Listen, here's what we can do. One of us will push it from the shop to where we get it to the restaurant. Another one will push it from the restaurant to the bus depot. And then the third one can push it from where we get off the bus up to the barn.
That last push is uphill. Boys Town sits up pretty high, Brother Lincoln Highway.
Oh, what if it does? Pushing the lawnmower that far ain't going to hurt nobody.
I'll push it from the restaurant to the bus depot.
And I'll push it uphill to Boys Town.
What?
Gee whiz. What am I saying? Can I take that back?
No, sir. You were instead of...
Now, listen. I thought we was cutting out that yelling first gets the best business. You push it from the shop to the restaurant, Sleepy. Lester, you can push it from the restaurant to the bus depot. And I'll push it up the hill to Boys Town from where we get off the bus.
You will, Perky?
Sure I will.
Right. You're a pretty tough guy, you know that, Perky? Even if you are a little bit crazy. Golly, Perky, what were you supposed to keep him sleeping in the shop so long? He went in to get that lawnmower almost 10 minutes ago.
Well, maybe the man in there's busy. He should be out pretty soon.
He sure should better be. I begin to starve.
Oh, here he comes now.
Golly, what took you so long, Sleepy?
Oh, the man was on the telephone.
Oh.
Maybe he would have pointed out the lawnmower when I first walked in. I would have been out long ago.
Oh, well, come on now. Let's get to that restaurant and eat.
Yeah.
Any cricket, Sleepy. Don't you think you ought to turn out more over? It's easier pushing without the blade spinning that way.
Yeah, I know. But I like to hear that click, 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 click.
Well, you thought I was going to have to eat anyway.
Gosh, I don't know what I want. I'm not so awful hungry.
I'm awful hungry, but I don't know what for.
I think maybe I'll have some stew.
I like stew. I like stew, too. I like pie better.
Now, listen, Sleepy. No eating just pies and sweet stuff. You gotta eat something that's good for you.
Well, pie is good for you, ain't it? Apple pie's especially. Gee whiz, I could eat a whole apple pie, I bet
you. Yeah, I suppose that'd do you some good.
Why, sure. It'd keep a doctor away for over a week. You know the old saying.
Yeah, yeah, I know the old saying. Apple a day keeps a doctor away. But a bunch of apples all at once, you'd keep the doctor away, all right. Away from all his other patients.
You think I'd get sick?
You wouldn't get healthy.
Hey, there's a restaurant the next door there. I'll go ahead and hold open the outer door for you, Sleepy.
Yeah.
See, many crickets, I hope that lawnmower won't be in the way there in a restaurant.
Oh, we can find a place where it won't be in nobody's way, Pricky.
Okay, Sleepy. Bring the more around.
All right.
I'll push it right through the little lobby here.
Okay.
Hey, Sleepy!
Huh? You called me, Lester?
Did I call you? For goodness sake, look what you did.
Gee, Minnie Cricket, you trimmed all the fuzz off that big doormat from the middle of the bottom clear up the upper right-hand corner.
Gee whiz.
Fine, look on Matt that is now. Hey, Sleepy, what are you doing now?
I'm cutting a V for victory. Gee whiz. Isn't this a pretty restaurant, though, huh?
Yeah, I'll see.
I wonder what they got this bottle of gasoline on the table for.
Oh, that ain't gasoline, Sleepy. That's vinegar.
Vinegar? Oh, yeah.
Go on, go on. Look at your menu there, Sleepy.
Menu.
Waitress will be back for our order pretty soon.
Yeah.
Hey, you can see from where you're sitting, Perky. Is the lawnmower still there by the door?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. It's still there, all right, Lester.
Hey, wait a minute, fellas. Oh, what's this here on the menu? It says entries, entries.
Entries. That's entree, Sleepy. Entree.
Entree. Oh, what is that?
Oh, that's French or something, meaning here's what we got to eat.
Oh, that's fine.
You know what you want yet, Lester?
I think I'm going to have a double-decker sandwich. Bacon and tomato, some apple pie, and some milk.
Well, how about you, Sleepy?
Well, wait a minute. Let me see here now. I wonder if I should have a bowl of filet mignon. Hmm?
For goodness sake, Sleepy. That's filet mignon. And it don't come in no bowl.
Why not?
Because it's steak. That's why not.
Steak?
That's what I said, steak.
Oh, gee whiz. How come they got it written in code there?
Oh, it ain't written in code. Filet mignon is French.
Oh. Filet mignon. I can talk French.
Oh, shut up, will you? Here comes the waitress.
Yeah. May I take your order now, boys?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Lester. You order first.
Well, I guess I'll have this sandwich here, this bacon and tomato double-decker.
Five.
No, just one.
I mean sandwich number five.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sandwich number five, bacon and tomato double-decker.
Something to drink?
Milk, please. Instead of pie, I guess I'll have some of that chocolate layer cake.
All right. And yours, please?
Let me see now. I'll have a toasted cheese sandwich, please. And for dessert, I'll have chocolate layer cake, I guess. And a glass of milk to drink.
All right. And yours?
Yeah. Look, I'll have one of these here, I think.
One of what? Oh. Oh, you want minestrone Milanese?
What you said. That's what I want, and some milk and some apple pie.
A la mode?
No, apple.
I mean, do you want ice cream on your pie?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Golly, Sleepy. What is that minister, Milanator, whatever it was you ordered there?
I don't know, and I hope it ain't tough, though.
Boy, oh boy, is that cheese sandwich ever going to taste good?
Golly, I hope that chocolate layer cake's as good as we get out at Boys Town.
Oh, wonder what I ordered.
Boy, gee, many crickets. Why in the devil didn't you order something you know something about?
Oh, this is more interesting.
Yeah, but it's dangerous, too. How do you know? That waitress may come back with boiled ostrich eggs or something.
Oh, gee whiz, I hope not. I'd much rather have them scrambled up.
Look, here comes the waitress with something.
Yeah.
I have the sandwiches in a moment. Here's the minestra milanese.
Gee whiz. Look what I got, fellas. Vegetable soup.
Oh, gee, huh? Golly, everything sure tasted swell, didn't it?
Yeah, I'll say. Well, guess we better get going now so we can catch that next bus. Here's Sleepy. Here's a check. You got the money to pay.
Yeah, I got it right here. Uh-oh.
Sleepy. Oh, me. I'll bet there's nothing in your pocket.
Yes, there is, Lester. That's just the trouble. It's a hole.
Oh, me.
I saw anything like this. Oh. Gee whiz, I wish business wasn't so good here at this old restaurant. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Did you ever see so many dishes?
Oh, well, Sleepy, we're pretty near finished now.
Golly, all this work. I don't know why you couldn't be more careful and not lose that money Mr. Norton gave you to pay for our lunch, Sleepy.
Oh. Gee whiz, Lester. Gosh, I didn't try to lose the money, did I?
Well, it don't make no difference whether you tried or lose it or not. The thing is, you did.
Well, I'm awful sorry, Lester.
Yeah, sorry. A lot of good that'll do to prevent me from getting dishpan hands.
Oh, dishpan hands? What are you talking about, Lester? All you're doing is drying dishes. And not many of them, neither.
What do you mean, not many of them? Bet you I must have dried 1,000 pieces already.
1,000 pieces? You're crazy. Sure, you dried a lot of pieces, all right. But what were they? Little pieces, mostly spoons and butter dishes. You left all the soup plates and all those big dinner plates for me.
Well, I don't see why we should have to do any dish drying and pay our bill. Baby's the one who lost some money.
Oh, well, he's doing all the washing, ain't he? Too many crickets. Yes, if you was the one who lost the money, you'd want somebody to help you wash the dishes, now wouldn't you?
I wouldn't lose the money.
Oh, quit complaining, will you? A little work won't hurt you none.
No. Oh, gee. There's the last dish. Gee whiz, I was beginning to think we'd never get done.
Well, hurry up and dry that so we can get out of here, huh, Perk?
Oh,
yeah.
Golly. I bet you it's way late in the afternoon already. We should have been back to Boys Town long ago.
Well, now, if we don't have to wait long for a bus, we'll be back pretty soon. There. That's that.
Well, come on. Let's go. A man says we could since we finished.
Yeah. You go ahead first, Sleepy. Right out through that door there.
All right.
Golly. I just thought of something horrible.
Horrible? Well, what'd you think of, huh?
My turn to push the lawnmower.
Oh, well, you only gotta push it to the bus depot.
Yeah, but... Uh-oh.
Oh. Well, what's the matter, Lester?
If you fellas was beginning to think this is a bad day, you wasn't wrong. Look, the lawnmower's gone!
And that's just the beginning of the troubles of our three heroes in this particular story of life at Boys Town. We'll carry on from this point next week when we'll be looking for you to follow the adventures of our three typical youngsters, Lester Scott, Perky Johnson, and Sleepy Peters.
Thank you, Father Flanagan, for another interesting story of life at Boys Town. Next week, friends, we'll have the rest of this picture of life at Father Flanagan's Boys Home for you. And we sincerely hope to have you all in our audience once again. Now, Father Flanagan says,
however high may be the cost of victory, continued liberty and freedom make it a bargain. Help sustain liberty and freedom for every American by supplying the boys at the front. Buy United States War Savings Stamps and Bonds. It's the best way to save money, to earn high interest, and to earn victory.
Well, thank you, Father. Friends, the pursuit of happiness is an American right and privilege. But catching up with it isn't always an easy task. Indeed, there are many whose entire lifetime is spent in endless and ever-hopeless pursuit. The great majority of those unfortunates found themselves handicapped by lack of any opportunity for success when circumstances made it impossible for them to construct a solid foundation upon which success must be built. Chief among those who might be classified as most destined to fail are the homeless or abandoned youngsters left alone to battle life's overwhelming army of obstacles, blocking the way to success and happiness, totally unprepared to meet the challenge. It is such youngsters as these Father Flanagan has brought to Boys Town. In the past quarter century, Father Flanagan has rescued thousands of such youngsters from lives of despair and hopelessness, brought them to Boys Town to begin life anew, to forget the heartbreaking and unfortunate past, and accept the opportunity to prepare themselves to earn a future worthwhile. Each of the hundreds of homeless or abandoned lads at Boys Town today, and each of the thousands who preceded them there, found America's famous city of little men a safe haven in a storm-tossed period of life. At Boys Town, each youngster is given proper food, clothing, and shelter. Proper medical and dental care, is sensibly guided, given religious training, a good education, and training in some trade. And in making all this possible for so many unfortunate boys, Father Flanagan has carried on without the aid of any state, federal, religious, or charitable organization. Today, as always, Boys Town is solely dependent upon voluntary contributions for support. And Americans in every walk of life make these contributions, large and small, so that Boys Town may not only survive, but grow into an ever greater haven for homeless and unfortunate youngsters as the years roll by. Won't you be with us again next week at the same time to hear the second and final chapter of our current story of life at Father Flanagan's boys' home? Father Flanagan, friends, was not present in the studio personally for this program, but his voice was impersonated.